Welcome in on a Friday. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. You heard Dustin Fiocco on the updates. Heather, is it possible to have JoJo back?
Yeah, you need some therapy today.
I could use some therapy after yesterday.
we'll walk you through the day. We'll take care of you. Make sure that nothing drastic happens. Try and keep you...
Trust me, with Scott Harris in charge, nothing drastic will happen. We'll get to it at 6:35.
Greg, do you have the smart alarm ready?
He's trying to get set up.
Yeah.
We're going to talk it at 6:35 and most of the show today. But John, is an olive branch to you, I do want to start with football.
We had football last night.
That's where your bread's buttered, baby. So tell me about last night. Are you settled in?
Oh, yeah. I was settled
locked in,
ready to go and watch the hour pregame show. It was great to see and hear Mike Tirico. And it just kind of felt like football season's ready to go. And then when they kicked off, there are no starters playing. I was actually kind of pleased to see Amarion Hampton for the Chargers, and he looked good. Not many looked good for the Lions, but you know what? Those guys aren't going to be playing very much. So what I liked about it was I liked the routes. And I liked the concepts that I saw from the offensive coordinator, John Morton. I thought there were some drop passes. There were some things. Lovett had a couple of drops that I was like, ooh, I want to try and catch those. You want to make the team, which whatever. I liked Isaac Tisla.
Yeah.
I thought he did well. But again, he was open, and a lot of that had to do with the concepts in the secondary. So I liked what I saw from the coordinator. Defensively, not much to be gleaned from that other than you must tackle.
Rocky Sin was willing to tackle.
Yeah.
I liked what I saw from him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean not a lot to glean from
it. And our buddy that we liked so much.
Oh, I know. John.
Had the special teams expert that came in, had the flowing locks.
Yep.
And I didn't realize when he walked. Heather, did you see him walk up?
No, I wasn't there.
You were already gone.
Yeah.
But I saw the locks on television.
Well, he ended up in like a bun when he was with us.
So you didn't know how long it was.
Right. I had no idea it was going to cover his
it's a mane.
Number and name. Like, I mean, obviously, if it's covered his number, it's covered his name too. That was a lot of hair.
Well, we knew he was going to be like a guy on special teams that was going to make his name there. I didn't realize that he was going to be returning the opening kickoff.
I didn't either. And I think it's probably the last time he returns a kickoff.
They fumbled the ball.
Fumbled the ball to start the game. Didn't start to get the game off right. Didn't start the season off right. But, defensively, I thought, Stewart played well. He did, stick his nose in there. He did everything that he talked to us about. And other than the return on special teams, I thought he played well. So, score, not great.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. Wins, losses in the preseason, it's always better to win than it is to lose, but I really don't care about that either. They're showing the new technology on TV. The first down placement. What'd you think of that?
I liked it. I mean, see how it translates over more than one football game, but yeah, it looked like it was good.
Nah,
it's kind of the stuff they've been doing, like tennis and soccer, where you can measure on the lines.
Yeah, no more chain gang coming out. Cool. No more suspense.
Keep it moving.
Yeah,
games are long enough as they are.
There's not a lot of suspense in the preseason, but I think there's a point in the season where the manual bringing the chains out, setting it down, and then watching the official pull it tight and set it down. It's the nose of the ball, or they get the old 3x5 index card. Oh, it's not. It's a first. I'm gonna miss a little bit of that. I understand why they're doing it. I don't really care, but it will take a little of the suspense out.
I want to throw something to you. Pride of Detroit, they cover Lions, all the stuff. They did some winners and losers from last night. Want to hit this up. Winner number one was Rocky Sin. We already mentioned him. He was aggressive, tackling, point of contact.
Sure.
Dominic Lovett, they say not a perfect night, dropped his first pass, but once the butterflies got out of the way, he caught 5 passes for 31 yards. We had heard about him as a camp guy that was playing well, so they listed him as a winner. Giovanni Manu, they listed as a winner. Now, John, your qualifications are pristine.
I'm going to have to go back and watch this one, watch the All-22 before I get a chance to dig into technique and
this is what they said. While he didn't get as much time as expected, he did well with the time he was given Thursday night, lined up as a backup left tackle, played mostly the second half, and did well for the time he was out there. Hold off defenders from Hooker, helped the run game some. His performance wasn't perfect, but it was a step in the right direction and an improvement from where he was last season. Well, that's where he was last season was incredibly raw.
That's a very low bar to jump over.
Tesla was a winner for them. Impressed with his time on the field Thursday night. Led the Lions receivers in yards. 2 catches, 46 yards. It was the same drive. He made a couple plays, so it stands out to people. Hassanin, the Boise State day three pick. He looked like he's got that burst, that motor, that array of moves. Maybe he ends up making a... I'm not going to overstate his impact this season, but he can be part of that D-line that desperately needs some bodies right now.
Yeah. I mean, they still haven't signed Za'Darius. I think that's coming probably within the next 7 to 10 days. But they're going to need depth at that position. And he's a guy, once he understands the concepts of the defense, and we've seen this, you know, with so many of the defensive linemen that the Lions have had... The ability to play multiple positions in different situations, trying to create those matchups that might be best. Where are you going to put Hutch? Where are you going to put, you know, when Pascal's healthy, when Aleem McNeil is back? You know, he's generally an inside guy, but you can move them around left to right, bump them out as, you know, as a four eye. Like, those are the things that you're looking for when a guy like Hassanin, how can they best use him?
Yeah.
And it's not going to be an every down guy, at least not this year.
No.
But, you know, where are the matchups? Where can they move him around to put him in position to be successful along with the rest of the defense? So I like the versatility of him.
Situationally, depth, you need fresh bodies. Yep. We never have enough pass rushers.
Yep.
They're losers. They had three of them. Two play the same position.
Mm.
Quarterback. Kyle Allen and Hendon Hooker. That's going to be what most people took out of last night, John. I don't think many people are going to dwell on the score, but they wanted to see... Hey, does Hendon Hooker look the part? Well, he didn't even play till the second half.
Right.
And he threw all his 6 passes. Kyle Allen, that's supposed to be the vet. He threw 2 terrible interceptions.
Yeah.
And he slid short of the first down on one of the conversions.
Yeah, his second interception in the end zone.
What was he thinking?
Well, it was, you know, Tesla was running a route. He got held up.
There's two guys there.
I understand. He threw into double coverage. But Tesla wasn't even there to be able to make a play. But my point is, you've got to be able to see that and feel that, read that. That ball should have never been thrown. No. Never been thrown. And if that's a one route option in that play, then you throw it 5 rows deep into the crowd. Like, you just get rid of the ball, and if you need to bring out Jake Bates, you bring out Jake Bates.
So be it. Don't put that mistake out there. His first pick, he threw the ball behind the receiver. It was late and behind. Yeah. Like, you're the vet. You're the stabilizer. Hendon Hooker's going to have some lumps. He threw a pick, although it was on a fourth down deep in a contested catch situation. Kyle Allen was the worst quarterback that played yesterday for the Lions. And it's not like Hendon Hooker did all that to impress.
No, and I'm sure against Atlanta, we'll probably get the reverse of that situation. Hendon Hooker's going to be the one that starts, and Kyle Allen will be in the second half at some point, and we'll get a chance to see an extended version of Hendon Hooker with, you know, a better offensive line in front of him.
Can I ask just the question everybody's wondering? Do they have a backup quarterback problem? Is this a problem?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's no question it's a problem. Because, I mean, I don't know. Do they have Teddy Bridgewater on speed dial again? Is he's available. He's not coaching right now.
Dealing with some drama with his high school team. Yeah. Hey, Teddy.
So I don't know that they're settled on either of these guys as their backup quarterback, nor should they be.
So are we going to be watching other preseason games scouting our backup quarterback?
Well, I mean, here's the issue. What do you need a backup quarterback for, right? It's to come in if Jared Goff gets dinged and has got to hold on to a lead in the third or fourth quarter. That's what the ideal situation to use your backup. Or if Jared Goff, you know, in his lightning fast speed, tweaks a hammy and he's going to be down for a week. Do you have a guy that can go in there and be serviceable? Not to be the level of play that the starter quarterback is, but to be serviceable. And right now, we don't have a quarterback that can do that.
No, again, if you're looking for someone who can take over if Goff is injured for the season, that guy doesn't exist.
Right.
Like most teams, if Josh Allen goes down, if Patrick Mahomes goes down, you can stabilize for that game, the next game. You're not doing it for a month, 2 months, the postseason, a Super Bowl. So, yeah, from a standpoint of how big of a problem is this, if you lose your starter, you're screwed no matter who your backup is.
Yeah, it's one that compounds itself.
You just want someone who could play in a pinch. And they don't have a guy you even trust to play in a pinch right now. So it's a problem. 248-539-9797. We're going to talk a lot of Tiger deadline. 635. Did they do enough? Word for the deadline. We'll do all of that. Coming up next, Alex Anzalone. Got some news yesterday on the contract front.
Got a couple extra dollars.
Yeah, probably not as much as he wanted. We'll get to that next. It's 97.1. Guys, KG Law, if you're injured in an auto accident, take control with my friends at KG Law. Get personalized care, guidance, and full legal representation from the Michigan law firm that's won over 5,000 personal injury cases. 98% success rate. KG Law knows how to win your case. Lawrence KG and his team, down-to-earth approach. They care. It's their phone number, 877-KG-CARES. Online at kgcares.com. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. That's kgcares.com. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com. Spotted in Metro Detroit yesterday, Scott Harris loading up his shopping cart at the Dollar General. Full breakdown today. Good morning, 97.1.
Wait a second. You're the only one that has the smart alarm?
No, he hasn't put it on my board yet. But Greg's behind the scenes working to get us some Scott Harris audio for later in the show. John, there's no defending what that was, right? Like, you were reserved yesterday. You went to reserve judgment. Wait till the deadline's over. Finnegan and friends? They added one real MLB arm, Finnegan from the Nationals, right. And they didn't have to give up very much to get him. They didn't have to give up very much was kind of the motto of the deadline. Give to get. They didn't want to give. They didn't get. That's not a deadline for a serious World Series team.
Right. They went out there and it felt like it was, I know you use the Dollar General.
You prefer Goodwill?
No, it felt more Costco.
Gently used?
Bulk.
Yes.
And just trying to go with the, let's just see how many arms we can bring in.
Someone's got to stick, right?
Somebody, we've got to be able to give Chris Fetter something to do, and see what happens.
I mean, poor guy. They give him some of the worst pitching to work with, and they just go, hey, go be a magician. Pull a rabbit out of your hat. Again, how does that inspire confidence if you go, one of these has got to work. Just throw five arms at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
That's the move for a team with the best record in the American League? John, I mentioned serious World Series teams. The Yankees added two stud bullpen arms in Bednar and Duvall. Those are closers. They also added Bird from the Rockies, who I know you had mentioned at one time as an interesting name. They had three arms all with control without giving up a top five prospect in their own system. How'd they pull that off? They got three relievers with control without giving up elite prospects? Because I'm led to believe by Scott it simply wasn't possible. But there were quotes from anonymous executives that said the Tigers just simply weren't willing to give up anybody any good. And I have eyes. I can confirm that report. They weren't willing to give up anybody good to get anything significant. The Mariners had two all-star corner infield bats. They didn't give up a top five player in their system or a top 100 prospect. There were deals to be made yesterday in Major League Baseball. And they were made by other teams in the American League, while the Tigers decided, we just want to get in the playoffs. I mean, Scott Harris said the quiet part out loud. My job is to get us in the playoffs. Well, your deadline reflects that. It's not a deadline of a team chasing a World Series.
It's disappointing that there was no Bednar. There was nobody of significance that was added. And I know, you add you add a starter in Charlie Morton. Right, who is 41 years old.
With a 5 ERA. He's having a terrible year.
And that's when you move, Melton from starting pitcher to the bullpen. So, that was there. We think Melton can help us in the bullpen. He can be a long reliever. Because what did I say? You need somebody to get you from that fifth inning to the eighth inning. Well, they believe that Troy Melton is going to be that guy.
So I'm not even mad that Melton's going to the bullpen. I think that's a young arm. If you're going to have a postseason run, that's typically where they go. He throws 98. Yeah. He could be a leverage guy. I think there's some merits to that. But what I don't get is the reason he's being bumped there is to add 41-year-old Charlie Morton.
Right. And the selling point for Charlie Morton was, he had a really rough start. And he did. Since then, he's been 7-1, and his ERA is, what, 3.23, I think I read.
Yeah, but hold on. The month of July.
Trust me, I'm just telling you what the selling point
is. Well, what I'm seeing is a lot of selling from people who have to twist the numbers. If you have to chop the first month and the last month off, I can do that with a lot of pitchers. Charlie Morton's had a 5 ERA in July in 5 starts and a whip of 1.5. Sure, there's some swing and miss. If you squint hard enough, but that's everybody they added. Rafael Montero, he's lethal if he can find the strike zone.
And he was really good in 22.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Right. He was DFA'd last year, traded twice this year, and has a 5.4 ERA. Paul Sewald, he's currently hurt right now on the 60-day list. Cody Hoyer's a triple-A arm. Randy Dobnik, great story, right? Utica, Jimmy Johns Field. He has a 7 ERA in triple-A. They didn't go out and add anybody significant outside of Finnegan. I will give them Finnegan. And Paddock is just covering for Olson. That's not like an addition. That's just keeping up.
No, but that was a good move.
I got no issue with the Paddock move. But it doesn't make you better. It replaces Olson. So what are they doing to get better? Did they even really buy? They didn't give up anything. Did they buy at all?
Well, yeah, they ended up with, what, 6 more arms. So technically, by
definition, major league arms?
I'm just telling you.
So
they added.
Who was their fifth starter before yesterday?
Melton.
It was Melton.
Yeah.
So what John is saying, they think he can be more effective out of the bullpen with his arm, and Morton is your fifth starter now. So now they have a 5-man rotation again, and putting Melton in the bullpen adds depth. Again, I was underwhelmed by the whole thing in general, but that's the thought process.
Right.
Morton has postseason starting experience. With the manager,
well,
he has
a lot of life experience. He's 100 years old.
I know. And it's also...
He pitches with a walking cane.
I think Morton was an admission. There is no way we're seeing Alex Cobb. And so the criticism there is that Harris made a mistake before the season getting Cobb.
You know, I made a couple jabs about the Cobb thing. I'm not even mad about it. They burned $15 million. Whatever. They tried.
Well, you could have burned that somewhere else. He misspent that money.
Yeah.
Okay? He would admit that, I think, off the record at least.
248-539-9797. That was not a deadline of a team with World Series dreams. A serious World Series team has a more impactful deadline than that.
And so I think that's the message from Scott Harris is
we're not serious.
Well, we're gonna try. We've been able to manufacture tied for the best record in baseball, most wins in baseball.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what we can do through the rest of the season and in the postseason. And if we find a little magic, we find a little luck, we'll be able to do something. But I think in terms of the way that they added, that is, I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you that's the message that Scott Harris is sending to the fans. Hey, we're a good team.
Yeah,
but we're not in position. We're not going to add enough to be able to compete with the Dodgers or the Blue Jays in a 7-game series. That was the message I got with Finnegan, Morton, moving Melton. Like, we're going to mix and match, and we're going to hope that the run that we were on at the beginning of the season, we're back to where that was, and we can create some magic.
Yeah, but that's pathetic. That's small time. We can't give up anything to get anybody as the team with a great farm system and the best record in baseball. We can't give up anything to get anything. We have to do it this way. We have to do it through smoke and mirrors. We can't go add a couple big time relievers who were dealt at reasonable prices.
I'm not trying to pour gas on the fire. I'm not trying to get you any more worked up. I'm just telling you.
I can't be alone on this.
And I know he talked last night about the whole Scooble window, and he doesn't think there's necessarily a window. It's an illusion. You can in a minute. But I think what he's telling you is we're hoping that this offseason we can add more bats. We can add more arms. We can be a better team next year. And he's basically kicking the can down the road. Let's see how good we can be this year. And then next year, we're going to do a little bit more in the offseason. Maybe it leads us to do more at the trade deadline. It's very underwhelming. There's no question about it. But I think he's telling you, even if we went out and sold the farm for talent, that they weren't in position to be the favorites to go into the World Series. And I'm with you. I know what you're going to say. Well, you don't have to be the favorites.
Thank you.
That's the message that I got from Scott Harris.
No, I know, but do you like the message?
I don't like it.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I just want to feel like I'm the only guy yelling, ranting, and raving today.
No,
like,
but I may not have the same emotion or the rant and rave. It's just
why doesn't it stir you?
Because it's done. We have to now look at the roster that we have and say, well, what can we do? And I think it's going to temper a lot of people's expectations. All right, can we still win the World Series? Yes. Is it likely? Probably not.
Like, I'm going to root like hell for them. They're my hometown team. I have never seen my team win a World Series. I wasn't alive in 84. I'm going to desperately root like hell for them. I wish they cared with that level of investment yesterday.
Do they have a better chance of winning the World Series today than they did yesterday?
No.
Okay.
Well, I actually think that they are a... I know they're not as good as you wanted them to be today, but I do like the move of being able to put Melton in the bullpen. That answers the question that I needed, but it opens up another question on the starting rotation.
And John, you've already alluded to this, the quote about Scooble and Windows, right? Because, okay, fine, we're not good enough to make the impact moves now, and you kind of hinted, well, maybe next year they will. Next year's the last year of Scooble's contract, his control.
Right.
Harris says about this idea of a window, it's an illusion. I think there's a lot of talent in the organization. There's a lot of players who are in it for the right reasons, who are playing for each other, and they're playing for the city of Detroit. They've done special things from the All-Star break to the All-Star break. We have the most wins in Major League Baseball. Tarik is certainly leading the way and has been leading the way here, but there's a lot of really talented players both in the big leagues now and that are coming through this talented system. He says, I'm not looking at this as a window. It doesn't mean I'm shorting the present for the future by any means, but the whole idea of a window is not filtering into my head because it's my job to get to the postseason every year if I can. No, it's your job to win a World Series. I flat out disagree with what he claims the job of being a president of baseball operations is. It is your job to win a World Series. It is not your job to get in the playoffs every year. He's operating the deadline as a man whose job is to get in the playoffs every year, not a man whose job is to win a championship.
I could have accepted that comment more if he added one caveat. And when we return, I'll tell you what that is.
Perfect. And then your phone call is 97.1.
Hey, Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and fully and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that is never out of place. So whether it's tailgating, and we've got some great tailgates coming up here in the near future, grilling, hitting the beach, kicking back, or maybe you're just on the boat for the day at the beach, whatever it is, it's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are. Look for All Day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
John, you said something was missing in one of those Harris quotes. He said, windows are an illusion, and my job is to make the playoffs every year if I can.
And ultimately win a World Series.
He needed to say
yes,
that.
Yes, you cannot win a World Series unless you're in the playoffs. And we would love to have a postseason team have a run like the Wings did. Like, be in the playoffs every single year, and you make it to the ALDS, you make it to the ALCS, you make it to the World Series, you win one, but you're back to the World Series. Like, that is, should be the ultimate goal. And I wish that in saying that, because I could take whatever I want out of that quote. Like, you can't get to the World Series unless you're in the postseason. I just wish he would have added and ultimately win a World Series.
Yeah, but he can't say that if his actions don't support it. See, that's the thing. You could go, well, what he meant was, no, what he did was...
Well, his actions don't support it this year.
Well, and when is it? Because, again, you have the best record in the American League. Prices were not outrageous. Nobody gave up top 100 prospects to land the players that we had discussed. The Yankees went out and added three relievers with control, two high-end leverage guys without giving up elite prospects, top 100 guys, top five in their system. The Mariners added two rental bats without giving up top 100 guys. The prices weren't outrageous. They just didn't want to pay them. they didn't want to be a serious World Series contender. Now, they could accidentally win the World Series, but it's certainly not the focal point of the trade deadline was to chase the World Series. His focal point was to make the playoffs, which is what his job is, in his estimation. Make the playoffs. Well, good thing they got a 9-game cushion and they play in the AL Central where everybody else is selling. Job well done, Scott.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about selling. Holy cow. The Minnesota Twins. Their entire lineup was like they saw, I think it was 9 players off of their 26-man roster.
Yeah, we're going to play the St. Paul Saints a couple times in August. Like, that's just what it is. We got some phone calls and ticket texts.
Let me add one thing. And because you asked, or I think maybe Tom asked, did they get better? And I think you have to look at it and say they're better today than they were yesterday. But did they get better like Seattle got better? Did they get better like the Yankees got better? Did they get better, or did they get a little bit better, but their World Series chances actually got a little worse?
Well, let's break this down. So I think Tom's question was, are they better? My follow-up is, through the lens of competing for a World Series, they got further from the World Series because their competition got better than they did.
All right, so we're saying the same thing. Yes. I think they got a little bit better, but their competition got better, and I think their odds of winning a World Series went down. Doesn't mean that they're zero, but they went down.
So adding Finnegan is better than not having Finnegan, but adding a bunch of gas cans to the bullpen might be, hey, fingers crossed Fetter fixes them, or that could leak out onto the mound in a postseason moment.
Well, okay, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a little bit, and just, you know, be a little bit more patient than you are. Last year, they had the entire, you know, pitching chaos. Mm-hmm. That's not worked this year, and it's not going to work this year. But they saw some things in guys last year that were 9 ERA in the minor leagues. Yeah. They came up and performed well. Are they seeing some of those same things in the arms that they acquired? Now, we don't have the answer to that question as we sit here today because we haven't seen a pitch in a Tigers uniform. We haven't seen A.J. Hinch do his, you know, wave the magic wand and be the wizard that he has been.
That's what I was saying. It hasn't worked this year. It didn't win them a World Series last year. This idea you're going to do it solely on spare parts because your brain's bigger than everybody's brain. Like, other teams are adding good quality impact players, and they're not mortgaging the farm to do it. Tigers didn't want to do it, and they'll pay the price down the line for it.
So when I tried to talk you off the ledge before the show, I did throw at you, and I got a pause from you because you were thinking it out.
Yeah.
How much did the Olsen, Jobe, and Cobb injuries affect what they did at the deadline in terms of, okay, we got to shore up our starting pitching, and all of a sudden we don't want to give up a bunch of prospects? You know, I'm just trying to kind of argue it from that standpoint. I think they improved their odds of winning the ALCS yesterday. Minuscule. You only have to play one of these teams throughout. Remember, you're not all these teams that, they're all going to get better. I've seen many, many, many a team go blow their wad at the deadline and fail.
But who did that?
The Yankees did it several times.
No, I'm saying this
Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Tom, this deadline, did anybody mortgage the future?
I think Philly, with the fourth and sixth prospects, gave up. They probably gave up the most, right?
Maybe.
Padres gave up. That's not American League.
Okay, yeah. The Padres went wild, and their GM is on the extreme on the aggressive scale. But I'm saying, like, of the teams we're talking about in the fight here, nobody gave up the farm. Nobody did. So it's not fair to say, well, Jim, you wanted Scott to give up the farm. No, I didn't. I played his game. The quotes that came out anonymously from the front office in the Petzold article, we're not giving up top 100 players. We're not giving up our top five. Fine. I'll play your game. Still go get impact players.
So
what was his response?
So what you're talking about then, let's go to the Twins and what they did and what they gave to Philly. They gave up their fourth prospect. So would you have given up Briseño yesterday?
To get a player with 2.5 postseason runs out of your bullpen? Yes.
And that's
what we were told is if it's for control, it's a different conversation. The Yankees added 3 relievers with control. The Phillies added the best closer in baseball, by the way, with a badass intro too.
Yeah.
With 3 years of control. Those are the guys you do move your prospects for.
Listen, I'm not defending what happened yesterday. I'm simply trying to talk it out a little bit in terms of, okay, you would have given up a Briseño at this deadline. I don't think there's a chance in heck that Scott Harris would have done that.
Is he wrong?
We'll see. He's trying
to have an opinion today. Have an opinion today. Is he wrong?
He's wrong for this season.
Okay.
But there's clearly they're trying to win now and win later.
Can you do that?
Well, the Lions.
Have they done that?
No.
248-539-9797. We got a lot of Harris audio we'll play for you in the 7 o'clock hour. Ticket texters. You would think having the best record in baseball for 4 to 5 months would mean you're a team in a position to buy. Harris is clueless. Losers do what Harris did by not buying when you have the best record in the American League. Cookies is 100% correct. It's a pathetic attempt to bolster the roster. Harris lost the trade deadline again. It's his Achilles heel. The deadline was a complete disappointment. Hearing that quote from Harris about it not being a window is ridiculous. He's out of touch with how the fan base feels. Is he confident we can re-sign Skubal? Because if he is, okay. I'd understand wanting to wait, but it doesn't make sense to me, Drew in Owosso. Yeah, another answer to that Skubal window question would have been, we have every intention of re-signing him. That was not said in that quote. So you're asked, hey, do you have a window with Skubal the next 2 years? Windows are an illusion, and my job's to make the playoffs. What he didn't say is, I want to keep Skubal and win the World Series. How am I supposed to interpret that?
Well, it's, I mean, you could interpret it any way you want.
I'm going to take it at face value.
I have a question. I have another question.
You have a lot of questions.
I have a lot of questions, yes. And some of them won't be answered until for a couple of weeks, and we see how AJ is going to handle the bullpen, how he's going to handle the starting rotation, how he's going to mix and match in terms of being able to create matchups that are favorable for those guys that are on the mound. But I have a Scott Harris question for you.
Okay. And again, we have those calls to get to and more ticket texts. You guys are flooding us today. People have thoughts on that deadline. It's 97.1.